Amen. Amen. Didn't you appreciate the music this morning, the choir and Leon and the praise team? Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand? Amen. What worshipful music to be able to come together on Sunday morning, to be able to worship together, to sing those beautiful Christmas carols, to enjoy this special time that God has given us together as a church family and as individual families. And I pray that you are doing that. I pray that you are preparing your heart that you might receive Him in even a greater way this season. Remember, each Christmas season you live here is one closer to Him there. Remember that. Take your Bibles and turn this morning. This is not the text, but I want to read two verses of Scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. I was sitting there thinking as Leon was leading us in worship and as the choir was singing. And as the choir sang that song, these verses came to my mind. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Turn there to it. I want you to look at it with me as I read it. I don't want to just read it. I want you to see it. I want you to see the words as I read them to you. Isaiah was prophesying approximately 700 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And under the anointing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, he penned these words in chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness. Do you understand this morning that there is over 4 billion people in this world right now walking in darkness? Yesterday morning, our son John and our daughter-in-law Ashley flew out of Raleigh to Chicago and from Chicago headed to Singapore to witness to Muslims, to share the gospel with Muslims. I got cold chills running up and down me right now thinking about that. Would you pray for them? 8 others beside them have gone with them on this mission trip to Singapore. My, my, my. From a little boy that was born to a country boy that grew up on a farm and all he knew was feeding pigs and milking cows and feeding cows and driving a tractor. All the way to Singapore to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with people that are walking in darkness. But Isaiah gives a great promise here. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Pray that the Muslim people, as horrible as we see what happened in San Bernardino this week, and around our world in Paris and other places, and what is taking place, people need the Lord. People need the Lord in their life. Listen to me carefully as I begin this series of 3 messages today, next Sunday, and the following Sunday. Next Sunday, you absolutely don't want to miss. It's on the peace that the Savior brings into our hearts and into our lives. But you're either in one family or the other family today. There's no in between. There's not a gray area. You either a child of God, meaning that God is your father, and the Lord Jesus Christ is your elder brother, and the Holy Spirit lives and indwells in you, or you are of your father, the devil. Now that's hard for us in so-called Christian South Carolina to think and to imagine, yet on any given Sunday morning in the Bible buckle belt, South Carolina, 78% of the population is not in any type of worship service. Is it no wonder that we see what is happening not only in the world, but that has now come to the shores of America as well? But may we not focus on that. May we focus on the promise that God has given us through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to pray with me I am sensing being led of the Holy Spirit to look at a series of sermons beginning the second Sunday in January. I don't know how it's going to all work out yet. I promise you they'll all be brand new. I don't have a series on it, but looking at from the manger, perhaps to the cross and the resurrection. You see, without the resurrection, church, we have no hope. You see, our hope is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now take your Bibles and look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Stand as we read that one verse. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Nothing takes God by surprise. Absolutely nothing. God does not have to second guess. He does not wake up. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He does not ask the question, when did that happen? I did not know that. I wasn't aware of that. God has a perfect plan that includes our redemption and our adoption into his family. Now, Joni and Tim have blessed Rome and I this Christmas season with two wonderful little twins. They are our grandbabies. But I want you to hear me carefully. God does not have grandchildren. God only has children. I want you to think about that this morning. And I want you to understand that your relationship is always as God's relationship with you and I and our relationship with him, a father to a child to a father. Think about that in that context this morning, and think about that the rest of your days. And remember, God is your father. He will forever be your father. He loves you unconditionally. He planned in the counsels of eternity past, and we're going to look at that in the message this morning. So let's read the verse. And I will put enmity. You're seeing that right now. What took place in San Bernardino, California? What took place in Paris? What has taken place elsewhere in the world? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Father, I pray God today that you'll help us to grasp the truth that you, in the counsels of eternity past, had a plan, and that you're working that plan, and that that plan will come to fruition, and that that plan involves the total and complete and absolute redemption of each and every one of us through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The promise of a Savior. God knew about sin. Sin did not take God by surprise. It took Adam and Eve by surprise. But it did not take God by surprise. You see, God had a plan, and God was working that plan. And God's plan is that mankind will have an eternal relationship with him. In the five I wills of Satan found in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, when you study those I wills of Satan, you understand that when he was conceived, iniquity was found in him. And of course, he appeared in the garden. And you know the story. You know that how that he tempted Adam and Eve. And he reminded them that God had somehow, for whatever reason, not been fair, not been just. That God had deprived them. It's the same lie that he tells you and I today, if we'll only listen to it. He tells us that God has has left us out, that God does not love us, and that God has allowed this to happen because he doesn't care about us anymore. He reminds us that God cares nothing about our prayers. God cares nothing about our well-being. God cares nothing about us. And so he said to Eve, he reminded Eve, he said, Eve, he planted in the mind and the heart of man the seed of doubt of the question of God's authority, God's sovereignty, and God's message in their heart and in their life. And he said to Eve, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof. In other words, he understood the omniscience of God. He understood that God was omniscient. He understood that God had given them a command that they were to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But then he said to Eve, he said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you will be as the gods. You will be as the gods. In other words, you will be God of your own life. You will be God of your own family, your own home. You'll be God. And therefore, when you become God, you're answerable to no one. You're not even answerable to your Creator. And so down through the course of history, we have seen this continual lie that has been fed to mankind. And that God does not love man, and that God does not have a plan for man, and that God has taken away from man, and that God does not really care about man, and that God does not care about what's going on in my life right now. But you see, actually, God's history is our history. Because God had us in mind in the councils of eternity past. And we'll see that further as this message develops this morning. Our union with Him, His desire that we be with Him, His desire that we fellowship with Him, His desire that we worship Him, His desire that we have fellowship with Him, His desire that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, live in our heart and in our life. And so God's economy is that man might be in position to have a relationship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby have a relationship with Him. No wonder Paul would say that we cry, Abba, Father, meaning Daddy, Daddy, because it is the relationship that God desires through Jesus Christ to have with us. He wants to be our Daddy. He wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants to be our Father. And the Bible even tells us in Psalms that He is the Father even to the fatherless. In other words, God's plan then is that His children would have a relationship with Him that would be eternal and that would be fulfilling and that would be an enjoyable experience. Over and over in the Old Testament, God had referred again and again to Himself as the husband and His people as the wife. In fact, that's found in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5, and 62, verse 5, Jeremiah 2:2, 3:1, and 14:31, and 32, and then Ezekiel 16:8, and 23:5, and then Hosea chapter 2, 7, and 19. And so we understand God's economy. We understand that God made a promise. And in verse 15 of our text, God said, first of all, I will put enmity. I will put enmity between your seed and between her seed. You will bruise his head. His head will be bruised, but he will bruise your heel. And I want to put that picture up right now if we have it, Naomi. Let's bring that picture up for just a minute. I want you to see this. Janie found this for me. And by the way, we need to pray for Janie. She's sick today, our ministry assistant. But Janie found this for me. And in the crucifixion, there have been a number of cases where this has been discovered and is now an artifact. This nail, if you'll look at this nail, is through the heel bone. Now, if you take that literally, there have been crucifixions where the feet were nailed to the side of a tree. In fact, in the book of Acts, Peter reminds us that he was nailed to a tree. We see the traditional Roman cross as normally the crucifix, and that is normally the picture that is in our minds of the cross. But the reason I show this to you today is because I want you to see that graphically this fulfills this scripture. This fulfills the scripture that we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Thank you, Naomi. And so we look first of all this morning at the unconditional promise God made in our behalf. First of all, God said there will be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, let me explain that to you in this manner so that you can understand it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Paul says. Your enemy is not mankind. Your enemy is not the Muslim people. Your enemy is not those who rob and rape and kill and murder and steal and etc. Your enemy is the enemy called Satan, the old serpent, the dragon, the devil himself. In fact, the Bible describes him with language that depicts him as a very evil, which he is, individual. Because five times, as I mentioned earlier, in Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 14, in Ezekiel 28, five times he desired to be as God was, and he desired to be worshiped as God was. So if you wanted to injure God, if you wanted to bring hurt, if you wanted to bring pain to God, what would you do? You would attack the descendants of God. Amen? If you want to hurt an individual, not that you would want to, but if you wanted to, if you wanted to bring injury, it's kind of like this. Say whatever you want to say about me, but don't you touch my children. Amen? That's how most of us feel. You see, well, I want you to understand this morning, multiply that 10 million times over. That's how God feels towards you. That's how God feels towards you. Lay your hands not against my children. And so he has provided for us. He has provided for us redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he made this promise. He said, because of sin, because of original sin which began in Satan himself, original sin when he said, I will exalt myself above the stars of heaven. I will be as God. And he brought that sin into the Garden of Eden, into man. And he tempted man. Now listen carefully. You've heard me say this before from this pulpit. If being perfect would keep you from sinning, then Adam and Eve would never sin. I want you to understand this morning that sin is a choice. We are born with a sinful nature. We do not have a choice in even choosing our parents. We don't even have a choice in our conception. But I want you to understand we have a choice in the manner that we choose to live. We choose to be either in God's family or in the enemy's family. And so God said, I will put enmity between thy seed, the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent. So when you see these things taking place on the news, understand what is happening. Understand that the prophetic word of God is being fulfilled. And understand, listen to me, that there's a victor coming, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was born into this world, and we celebrate that nativity, and we rejoice in that nativity. But my friend, if that would have been all, had he not gone to the cross, had he not died on the cross, had he not paid out for our sins on the cross, and had he not arisen from the grave, you and I would have no hope today. You see, our hope lies in Jesus Christ. And so the seed, the woman, a woman would compass a man, Jeremiah 31 and verse 22. Normally the seed comes from the man. Normally the man determines the sex of the child. But in this case, the seed came from the woman. And in God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the incarnation, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel reminded Mary that that which was conceived in her would be of God himself. So I want you to understand this morning, as far as the fatherhood of God is concerned, yes, God is the Father and the Creator of everybody. I want you to know that. He has created and allowed every person that has ever lived and will live to be created. And they're created in his image and in his likeness. And he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living soul. But I want you to also understand, man has a choice. And that choice lies in the fact that we either choose to be in God's family or we choose to be in the family of the enemy. It's a very serious choice. They that waited and walked in darkness. You see, God is still about redeeming man. God has not given up on his creation. And God is sending the gospel even today to people in what is called the 440 window, where over 4 billion people live that do not know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, listen to me. If you're a saved, blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again child of God sitting in this sanctuary this morning, you ought to be shouting to the glory of God. To be privileged to be born in America, where somebody, somewhere, gave you some spiritual roots through the heritage of your forebears, and you were privileged to come and to know and to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Give God a hand. Amen. But then we see the seed of the serpent. You remember Jesus turned to the scribes and the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and verse 44. You remember what he said to them? You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Now listen carefully, and let me stop right there just for a minute. Let me pause just for a minute. If the devil's children do his work, how much more ought God's children to do his work? Amen. Think about that this morning. You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth abode not in him. Take your Bibles and look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. I want you to understand, listen to me. Turn there quickly. Matthew 25 and verse 41. I want you to see this. You need to see this morning. You need to understand. It plainly tells you that hell was never created for man. It plainly tells you that God did not intend nor plan that man would go to hell and then be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are and where the Antichrist will be. It plainly says that hell was created for who? Talk to me. The devil and his angels. My friend, God created heaven for you. God created heaven for you, a place that eye hath not seen, that ear hath not fully heard and understand, that even hath not fully entered into the heart of man, a place where there's streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl, a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no death. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm sorry, I'm a little caught up this morning. Listen to me. Why would anyone choose a place that's going to burn forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever, where there's no release and where God is not? Why would anyone choose that? And just because you may not think it's real doesn't mean that God's a liar. Hello? Hello? Are you listening? Are you listening? Do you understand this morning? It matters not what you believe about it. God created it, and he created it for the devil and his angels. And you and I have a choice, just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And we will go one place or the other. It's your choice. It's your choice. The unconditional preparation God made in our behalf. The intervention of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 for just a minute. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. And then we're going to look at chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 10 for just a minute. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now look at chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Then to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Do you understand this morning that God desires that you and I show forth who He is in the world and the people that we come in contact with in the world? The intervention of God. God intervened. God did not have to second guess. God had one plan and one plan only. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is immutable. He does not change. And listen, He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Remember, He never sleeps. He never slumbers. The intervention of God. The intervention of God in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, when He prophesied and said that in Bethlehem of Judea would be born a king, a savior to His people, and His people would be saved through this savior and not some other savior. My friend, listen to me. It's not church baptism, as wonderful as that is. It's not tithing, as wonderful as that is. By the way, let me commend you all for November. You went above and beyond the call of duty in November. 5 Sundays in November, and you exceeded $14,000 average per Sunday in November. Can we give God a hand for that? Amen. Amen. And by the way, I didn't get to say anything about it. And this is commercial time. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering last year, remember I showed you the certificate you received? You were in the second category of the top 100 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention of the 35,000 plus churches in the Southern Baptist Convention per capita given to Lottie Moon. All of that goes directly to the International Mission Board, which sends it directly to fund and to take care of the missionaries on the field. The intervention of God. God has a plan, and God is working that plan. The intercession of God. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Oh, I love these. I almost called them a name. I love these individuals that deny the virgin birth. They're smarter than God. They know more how Christ was born than God Himself. Do you understand this morning, if Christ were not virgin born, you don't have a Savior. All you have is another born human being who cannot be your Savior, because that means He was born with a sin nature just like you and I. If Christ be not virgin born, do you understand this morning, you do not have a Savior. Let's close up shop. Let's go home. Because what we are preaching and what we are teaching and what we believe is not true. Oh, but they love to translate that Hebrew word, Alma, and say, well, it means a young lady. Well, hallelujah. Most young ladies I knew when I was growing up was a virgin. And there's nothing wrong with being that. There's nothing wrong with living that way. Why do you think God came to Mary and sent the angel of Gabriel to Mary? Why do you think He chose Mary? Because Mary had prepared herself for the consummation of the coming of the Lord and the promise of God. My friend, listen to me. God is preparing you right now and me right now. And He has a divine plan to work in your life. God does not create any junk, the little boy said. And that is theologically correct. God has a perfect plan. There's not any ugly babies. Every child is beautiful in the sight of God because God has a wonderful plan. And that plan included the virgin birth of our Savior. That's why, listen carefully, it was the seed of the Holy Spirit and woman, not the seed of Joseph and Mary. But then we see the inclusion of God. John 3:16 spells that out very clearly. For God so loved the who? We got a segment of people today says, well, that just means a select few. That just means a chosen few, that God has predestined that this one would be born to go to hell and that one would be born to go to heaven. Hogwash! And that's dirty water where I came from. Dirty water. My friend, listen to me this morning. The inclusion of God was everybody. Every individual, for whosoever, Romans 10, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say the chosen. Because you see, we are all chosen in Jesus Christ. We come into that in this message in just a minute. We've all been chosen. We've all been chosen in Christ. But then the unconditional plan God made in our behalf. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Turn there, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. I tell you, when I get around this time, I get passionate, church. I can't help it. I pray it spills over on some of you. I pray it turns you into a smiling plum, a peach, or... I pray it just makes you grin from ear to ear. It ought to fill your heart with the joy of the Lord. You know what Christmas is all about? What did the angels tell those shepherds who were the lowest of the lowest on that hillside that day, that night, that evening? Great joy. Oh, listen to me. I get excited when peace on earth and goodwill to a few men. The chosen men. Come on, church. You know it, or do you? That settles the issue right there. Either the angel lied, which he didn't, he can't. He was sent by God with the message of God, and don't you think God would have taken care of him if he'd have misrepresented the message? Hello, that won't cost you anything. That's free. Just think about it for a minute. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. You see, I believe salvation's for everybody. You'll never convince me that I serve a God that chooses this one but does not choose that one. Who in the councils of eternity past, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, let me read it for you. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Oh, he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knew what I was going to do. Oh, he knew what Johnny Muller was going to do. And he planned a Savior for me. He didn't wait on me to sin and then say, I got to do something for Johnny. Church, do you understand the depth of His love and the depth of this mystery of God in Christ working out our salvation, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, bringing to fruition in our life that wonderful and beautiful plan of salvation and redemption that would deliver us from the penalty of sin, that would deliver us from the power of sin, and hallelujah, one day coming back to deliver this old boy from the very presence of sin. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. And if you don't have it, you need it. And some of you look like you've just been licked by the cow's tongue that I was milking. Put a smile on your face and begin to shout for glory for what God has done in your life. It ought to set your heart on fire. It ought to make you burn deep inside. I was just picking at you, teasing you a little bit. Oh, listen to me this morning. Quickly, I'm going to wind it down, okay? Y'all going to faint. In eternity past, God had a counsel. He had a conference to make the determination of the crucial death of Christ, the second person of the divine Trinity, as a man for the carrying out of God's eternal economy, which is the salvation of all mankind. Whosoever will. Yes, it was man who put Christ the Lord to death, But Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. You can either work for the good in God's plan, or you can choose to do the evil, and God will still use you to carry out his evil purpose. Hello? Are you listening? You see, God made the choice that his son Jesus would die. Look up here, don't miss it. He had already died in the councils of eternity past before Satan even sinned. That was his plan. Baptists, don't let the Pentecostals do all the shouting. As wonderful as I love my Pentecostal brothers and Church of God people. If I wasn't called to be a Baptist, I guess I'd be called to be a Pentecostal, I guess. But I am a Pentecostal Baptist, okay? I just believe the book, okay? And I believe that God loved me so much that he had it all worked out long before sin ever entered the world. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. It matters not what you've done. Listen to me. It matters not what you've done or what you haven't done that you should have done. It matters not where you've been and where you shouldn't have been. It matters not who you are. His love crosses the gulf of our sin that separates us from him. I tell you all sometimes, some of you are new, so let me say it since you all haven't heard it. There are no skeletons in Johnny Mullet's closet. My skeletons and my sin was buried in his sea of forgetfulness and blotted out as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. Never. Don't let Satan go fishing and drag up your past. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. You have no past. Did you hear me? Go ahead. Help yourself. Help yourself. You have no past. You are a new creature. You are a new person. Because God chose that before the very first sin. This is good stuff. I'm even enjoying it. Christ's death was planned from eternity past. Micah chapter 5. Thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be least among all, out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. I don't know about you, but I have a king. I'm not waiting on a king. He is my king now, and he's ruling and reigning in my life today. I want you to know that. And that's what he desires to do in yours also. Christ's death was with purpose. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Who was lost? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks God. Oh, church, grasp that this morning. Christ's death was provisional. Turn back to Ephesians, and I'm about to wrap it up. Ephesians chapter 1. Go all the way back to Ephesians for me. And let's pick it up at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I don't know about you, but I don't live down here. I'm just a stranger passing through. My citizenship is somewhere else. I don't belong to this world. I've been saved. I've been born again. I'm a child of God, and my citizenship is in another country. And one day, I'm going there to stay, church, forever and forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah to His name. Yes, yes. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. There it is again. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us. Oh, listen, I love the Presbyterians too, but they don't have nothing on me Baptists. I've been predestined. I just believe all of us have been predestined. Not the chosen, because all of us are chosen. No offense. No offense. Let's let the Scripture speak for itself. Let's don't add man's interpretation to it. Let's be careful. Because you see, Satan is a thief and a robber, and he'd still like to rob you. And you're going to tell me this morning that one of my twin babies was born to go to heaven and the other one was born to go to hell? Come on. Come on. You want to see the righteous indignation of Johnny Muller rise up? Tell me that. And you ain't seen nothing yet. I'll clear out of space, buddy, and we'll have a fist fight over that. I don't serve a God like that. I serve a God that predestined me and chose me in Christ even before the foundation of the world. I did nothing to deserve it. I did nothing to earn it. I did nothing to achieve it. He has done it all for me. Hallelujah to His name. Having predestined us unto the adoption of sons. Ooh, not grandsons. Did you see that? There is no grandchildren in God's family. That's poor English, but that's correct theology. Sometimes I just use the poor English to make you all look at me. I can speak very intellectual if you'd like for me to. Are y'all having fun? You know, it ought to be a celebration when we come to church, amen? I mean, we ought to leave here knowing that we've been in the presence of God and God's spoken to our heart through His Word. Amen? And that we've been set free. Set free. Made free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Quickly, to the praise, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace through which He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted. I was accepted before I accepted Him. I was accepted before I accepted Him. Well, conclusion. God not only loves us and wants us to be with Him, but in His great love and wisdom, He planned beforehand and prepared everything for Christ's coming, His goings forth, and for our regeneration and maturation in life. His unique work is to work Himself into us and for us to be everything that we may grow in life, be matured, and become His bride and His counterpart. Amen. May God bless the word to your hearts today. Let us pray.